A scripture for today is from Acts 13, verses 16 through 23. Hear now the word. So Paul stood up and with a gesture began to speak. You Israelites and others who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. For about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. After he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance for about 450 years. After that, he gave them judges until the time of the prophet Samuel. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. When he had removed him, he made David their king. In his testimony about him, he said, I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my heart, who will carry out all my wishes. Of this man's posterity, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. So this is our third week in our sermon series on the faith heroes of the Bible. Our not-so-superhero this week is King David. King David is revered as the great king of Israel in the Old Testament. His kingship is the peak of all that Israel had been working for. In the Bible, David is characterized as a man after God's own heart. He's known as the courageous boy who defeated Goliath, the man who wrote a large portion of our Psalms. He's the mighty king who conquered enemy armies. In chapters 5 through 10 of 2 Samuel, it presents David as this great public figure. But in chapter 11, the story turns to his personal life, which actually reveals that he has real flaws and real failures. You may know the story. David is on the roof and sees a woman, Bathsheba. She's already married to Uriah, who's away fighting in David's army, but David is moved by lust and sends his servants to go get her, and she's brought to David. Bathsheba later comes to David to tell him that she is with child. So David has a problem. Bathsheba's actual husband is away fighting in his war, yet she is pregnant. So David sends for Uriah and gets him drunk so that he will go be with his wife. But Uriah refuses because his men are at war. So David sends Uriah back to battle, to the front lines of battle, and he's killed there as David wished. In the kids' version of the David and Bathsheba story, the VeggieTales version, King David, played by Larry the Cucumber, of course, sees another vegetable bathing on the roof with a rubber ducky, a beautiful rubber ducky. Though the king has hundreds of other rubber duckies, he wants that one. So he sends him to the front lines of the Great Pie War, where he was sure to get creamed. It's terrible. I guess it's a little hard to talk about murder and adultery in a cartoon Bible story. As people of faith, we hold David up to be a great faith hero, and I think we should. But we too often gloss over his failures, forgetting that just in a chapter or so of Scripture, he breaks a number of the big thou shalt not commandments. David, I think, should be our faith hero, but it would be a mistake if we thought of him as superhuman. This story has always been in our Bibles. This David is still that same courageous boy who defeats Goliath. It's the same sinful man who's after God's heart. It's David, the real David, who wrote a large portion of the Psalms in our Scripture. 74 of the 150 Psalms in our Scriptures bear David's name. Psalm 51 is one example. It says, a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. The Scriptures won't let us forget that David had real flaws. Verse 10 of Psalm 51, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. That's something we could all benefit from praying. David went to God and repented, and he was forgiven there. But David is not a man after God's heart because he was perfect, not because he was of perfect moral standing or of great strength, but because he sought after God. He was real before God. That's something we can do and be too. God doesn't see just what the world sees in us, all we've done or all the things the world uses to give us worth. God looks at our hearts. When David was first called to be king, Samuel passed over his 7 older brothers. They had to fetch David from the field because he was keeping watch over the sheep. God said, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Samuel anointed David, and 1 Samuel says, "The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward." The scriptures then proceed to tell the David and Goliath story, a story which most of us are likely a little too familiar with. The traditional story of David and Goliath says that there's no way David could beat the giant. Goliath was a giant with shimmering armor and sword, 6 foot something or 9 foot something, who knows. And David was just a boy. He had no sword or armor, just a sling and 5 smooth stones, and God help him beat him. He was the underdog, and somehow he won. As a guy from Kansas, I'm hoping that that's just what happens when royals like David play the giants. I know, boo. Yeah. Best-selling author Malcolm Gladwell wrote a new book last year entitled David and Goliath, Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants. The book begins quoting 1 Samuel 16:7, which we just read. It says, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, for the Lord looks on the heart." The basic premise of the book stems from the truth found in David and Goliath. It's that oftentimes, the things we so often associate with power, they're not actually as powerful as we imagine. Things like brute strength, extreme wealth, military advantages are just what the world sees as powerful. Through the David and Goliath story, the author wants us to find an appreciation for the kinds of power that are not often considered so powerful. Weapons of the heart, like perseverance, courage, faith. He says these softer powers are not just powerful in our imaginations, they actually are powerful. Gladwell wonders, if you're a Christian, one who believes in the power of God, why do we insist on calling David an underdog? When his heart is filled with the Spirit, that minute when his heart is filled with the Spirit of God, he's the favorite, surely. When we see the giants like evil, oppression, addiction, misfortune, disabilities, we too often automatically assume that the battle is his for the winning. For some reason, this is a hard lesson for us to learn. We have trouble understanding just how powerful faith makes us. During the 1930s and 40s, Germany's Nazis were an impossible force of hate. They brutally killed a terrifying amount of people throughout Germany and the surrounding area. During this time, there was a little town of Christians in the mountains of France who began to take in and care for Jewish refugees. One after another, they kept them in safety, defying the powers that the world so feared in the Nazis. Soon, Jews began to flood their little village to find the safety that they couldn't find anywhere else. When confronted about this, the little village of Christians didn't deny it. They, in fact, wrote a letter saying that it was their Christian duty to do so and basically said, "We're not going to stop." There were lots and lots of committed Christians in Germany and France during the Second World War. Only a few, oddly, stood up against the Nazis and harbored Jews. Only a few realized that their faith gave them the strength to confront the Nazis. People didn't have confidence in the power of their own faith. Young actor Shia LaBeouf, for the past year or so, has had an extremely trying time in his career. He'd basically been pegged as a misfit in the industry, struggling in rehab with alcohol addiction and arrests for disorderly conduct. Recently, he's actually started to turn his life around. He's become a Christian. I read an interview that he did, and while much of it was littered with profanities, in his response, when he was questioned about his life with Christianity, he spoke plainly, admitting that he had a long ways to go. And then he spoke of this new faith, saying, "It's a real thing. It's actually a real thing that really saved my life." The power that comes through a life in Christ is not imaginary. Through Christ, faith which dwells in our hearts holds real power against forces and giants that are stacked against us. I don't know who or what your giant is. I don't know where your heart is, but God does. The people after God's own heart are not those who are strong in the world's eyes or morally perfect. God calls imperfect people, sometimes people who sin big. It was the real man, David, who is after God's heart. And it's imperfect people like David or me or you who can be a significant part of God's plan. We should not forget that it's us, the real us, who holds great power in this world through Christ, who gives us strength. Amen.